Welcome to my Blog Talk radio show, Live Your Music. I'm your host, Margot Joy Denader. I'm a coach, singer, songwriter, artist, and the author of the book, The Art of Living a Life You Love. I am happy to have Christine Carlson back as my guest for Live Your Music. Join us for a conversation about her book, Heartbroken Open, which inspired the Lifetime movie, Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, the Christine Carlson story. Find out how you or someone you know can heal from heartbreak and feel joy again. Welcome, Christine.
Hi, Margot. It's so good to be with you again. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, I'm so happy to have you back on. You know, you inspire me so much, and you and Richard both.
Aww.
It's like I was telling you before, earlier when we were talking, that Richard's book came into my life back in 1997, and I have the Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, and it's all small stuff, book, the original copy here on my desk, and that's what started this whole thing for me of knowing who you and Richard were, and then getting the Don't Sweat the Small Stuff with the family, and the Don't Sweat the Small Stuff in Love, and, you know, the various books over the years. So I just,
aww.
I'm so thankful that you guys wrote those books and that you're continuing on his legacy.
Oh, thank you. Well, they were very, it was an amazing time in our lives writing those books. And, you know, that was just a different life. It was a beautiful life that I had with Richard. And I'm so happy, you know, that those books still inspire people today. You know, a lot of them are still, you know, people are still buying them and buying them for people that they love. And that would make Richard so happy. And it makes me very happy to know that they still are really relevant today.
They are. You know, I started rereading the Don't Sweat the Small Stuff book the other day, just thinking about our interview today, and I was going, oh, wow, I'd forgotten how much I really like this book.
Yeah, and it's like we're living in a time, I don't know about you, but when you're out driving around, you really get how much people are sweating the small stuff right now. It's like we're living in a real time where people are very stressed out and very anxious and, you know, high anxiety levels. And yes, I think it's a really beautiful time to revisit the philosophy, because it is about how we practice life that really helps us during the tough times, you know, and helps us grow resiliency. It's how you practice life on a day-to-day basis that really counts. And of course, if we're sweating the small stuff and we're practicing allowing, you know, life's annoyances and things to really get to us, then we're not really focusing on what matters most to us, which comes us to your show, Living Your Music, Living Your Joy.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's so true. You have to make time, though. I remember Cheryl Richardson saying in her book, Take Time for Your Life, you know, take time. I realized at that time that it's not beg for time, wish for time, hope for time. You have to take time for your life and for what matters most to you. And so, you know, I think that's the problem, is a lot of people get so busy that they don't feel they have the time to even take 5 minutes for themselves or to do something where it's just something that will give them joy and be in the present moment. So I think that's
yeah,
one
being
of the
busy
things.
For the sake of being busy isn't really a good thing. I mean, you want to, if you're going to be busy, better be intentional about what you're busy on.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
The way
yeah.
I look at it, like I'm going to be intentional about my busyness. I'm not going to let life dictate how busy I am. That's for sure. I'm going to be the master of my own ship.
Yeah. Oh, I know. So many people. You ask them, how are they? I've been busy.
Yeah, busy. Oh.
Yeah. So anyway, but yeah, deciding on what you're going to be busy about, I like that idea. Well, I think because not everybody that's listening has been through what happened with you and Richard, if you could give a little bit of a backstory on that, and then we'll get into the new stuff, the movie and the book that you've just released.
Yeah, so, boy, I can't believe I'm saying it's been 15 years now, but, you know, 15 years ago, my life looked very different. I was married to the love of my life and had two daughters growing up still. They were in junior high, or just beginning high school and ending high school. And Richard, who is the beloved author of Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, and at the time of his death 15 years ago, was considered one of the great happiness gurus of the Western world. So he was a very, very successful self-help author, and he really walked his talk. And he went on a flight. He got on a flight to New York. He was having some back issues at the time, back pain, pretty serious back pain. I mean, you know, really serious back pain. But he was still, you know, operational. Like, he was working and, you know, writing, and he was on a book tour, and he got on this flight, and on the descent of the flight, he had a blood clot released from his leg, and it created a pulmonary embolism, and he died on the descent of that flight into New York. And, you know, we were very young. He was 45, I was 43. It was very unexpected, you know, very, very unexpected. Like, one day, you know, you're kind of just doing your life the way you do it, and then the next day you get a phone call and everything changes, and it's like the rug's just pulled out from under your feet, and you don't know where the ground is for years. It was just really just heartbreaking. I mean, all loss is heartbreaking for all of us. You know, it's one of the great human tragedies that we have to, you know, live and lose people on, you know, when people die before us. It's horrible, and we all have to do it, and it kind of sucks. But, you know, the process of healing, and we can emerge again and become a very joyful person again. And I think now, 15 years later, I'm a testament to that. I'm living a very fulfilled life, and you can hear it in my voice being full of joy.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I know. I think the first time I had you on my show, Live Your Music Show, was in December of 2014, and this will be the fourth time I've had you on. And every time, you know, you've always been so inspiring to me. And
aww.
So, you know, I just love how you are living your music by doing what you feel called to do, you know, which is to continue on this legacy, and also to help people heal from losses, as you said before, of all kinds, not just the ones like you had, that, you know, where somebody divorces you or leaves you or whatever, you know, I mean, there's, or even loss of a job or things like that, you know, there's a lot of different kinds of losses that we can have in life, and how we look at it and how we deal with it makes such a huge difference.
Yeah, I mean, I've really come to realize, Margot, that what we really lose when we, you know, when we go through loss of any kind is we have a loss of our identity, and we go into a true identity crisis. And boy, I'll tell you, whenever the ego is in crisis, it's going to create havoc for us. But there's some real benefit to that, and the benefit is that when you go through an identity crisis, it's both bad, but it's actually a really good thing, because then you actually have a chance to break through the whole kind of messy part of having an identity, which isn't really who you are. It's just who you think you are. It's who your ego is made up in your life that you are. And then what's really cool is that you, the real you, the essence of you, the one that is really passionate about life, once you get through the healing process of that identity crisis, you get to be reborn in a way. Like, you get to be yourself. You get to break free of all the stuff that comes with that identity that holds you back from really being in a true, authentic place in you. This is what, this is at the deepest core of what I feel my message is for people, is that despite how bad it feels to be in loss, it's really fertile ground for your growth. And you will emerge from it, and you will heal, and you're going to feel amazing when you do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think for people to be able to reach out and touch, and not touch, but, you know, physically, but touch people by hearing their stories and have people hear theirs, I think that really probably helps, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. I think we really are inspired through story. We learn through story. More than anything, transformation, when you see somebody else transform, it gives you hope that you too can transform. You know, and I think that that's what story does, is it allows us to give each other a lot of hope and light along the way.
Yeah, that's so true. So, okay, I watched the Lifetime movie with Dudley, my husband, and oh my gosh, that movie is so amazing. And I would love to hear you tell us about how that all came about and what it was like having Heather Locklear starring in it and being you. And I don't know, where do you want to start with that?
Yeah, well, let me start with the story of how it came about. So,
okay,
there's a woman, and yeah, her name is Maura Dunbar, and she's done, this was her 25th movie that she's done. She does a lot of Hallmark movies, but she has a wide career of, you know, 25 years in the television production industry. And so when Richard was alive, she came to us and she said to Richard, your books, I turned to the Don't Sweat the Small Stuff books while I was in grief. She lost 4 family members all in the same year, and it was a devastating year for her. And mm-hmm. so she started reading the Don't Sweat the Small Stuff books, and they really gave her a path to life. That's the way she calls it. They lit a path to life for her. And so she came to Richard, and she said, I really want to do something and bring this to television. I think it's such a profound series, and more people should know about it. And to ABC television at the time. And it was going to be a sitcom, like a 30-minute sitcom based on our lives at the time. Authors of Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, Raising the Family, basically sweating the small stuff.
Could make a good TV series.
Yeah,
I hadn't thought of that.
It would be a
yeah.
good series. It would be a good series. Yeah. And so we went ahead and signed the deal, and we were going to do it. And then, which is very typical in television, it's a very fickle industry. Some management changed around, and so they decided, no, we don't want to do this. So at that time, Richard and I were pretty relieved, actually, because we were really nervous about it for our kids and for them to live under that kind of microscope and, you know, their lives. We were very nervous about it. So we were sort of like, wow, okay, we're really glad that didn't actually happen.
Mm-hmm.
So then the next thing, Maura came back to me after Richard died, and Richard died about 6 years later. And she came back to me ten years later he died. And then she came back to me and she said, I really still want to do something with this. And will you let me? And I said, sure, you know, just, you know, fine. Just we, you know, whatever happens, we can talk about it and decide at the time. So she continued to talk to people about it. And then she sold it to Sony Television. And then Sony Television didn't end up doing anything with it after 2 years. So the rights revert back to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then another 4 years passed, and Maura said, hey, Lifetime Television wants to buy it. And they want to do a movie around Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. So then they hired this writer, Shannon Colliery, and she wrote a story around the book. And it was it wasn't my story. And then Lifetime read the story and they're like, nah, this isn't it. And then they said, well, Chris, you know, we think you have this story. Would you let us work with your story? And so I was like, sure. But again, like, I kept thinking, oh, this isn't really going to happen. You know, like, this is not
going to
happen.
Yeah, by then it would seem
like
no,
nah,
it's not going to really happen. But yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but it did. And so that is how it came about. You know, it really was the push from Maura Dunbar and her devotion to the project that really got this movie done. And then my willingness to let them, you know, work with my story. And, you know, that was a lot, the big leap of trust. Like, I had to really, because I actually didn't get to see it fully. I got to read the script and make some shifts and changes to the script when it was in play. And I worked very closely with Shannon Bradley Colleary, the writer of the script.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't get to see it till it actually was done. So it was, you know, it was a big leap of trust and faith on my part with Maura. And then Shannon and I developed quite a friendship through the process of working together for 2 years to get the script made and stuff. So, yeah, that's how the movie came about. And then when they cast Heather Locklear, I was like, wow. I mean, I was like everyone else. I was such a Heather Locklear fan in, you know, college. And she's just like 2 years older than I am. And
mm-hmm.
so, you know, so I, of course, was, you know, I was like, wow, that's really cool. And then she came out to meet me, and we immediately made a heart-to-heart connection. I mean, from the moment she sat in my car, and we looked at each other, we just loved each other. Like, we just, you know, we just really, really made a deep connection. And so we've become very good friends out of this process. And that's been just one of the real side benefits for both of us. And she really wanted to do a really good job for me. And I think she did. I felt like she really delivered, and she did a wonderful job of with the role. And it was a tough role. You know, she carried the movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's so funny seeing the two of you in the pictures that I've seen posted on Instagram, and oh my gosh, it's just, you guys look like your sisters.
That's what her mother said. Like, her mom was like, geez, you guys really do look alike.
but definitely like you could be sisters, or, you know, at least cousins, but definitely, probably sisters, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I loved watching that all happening on Instagram, too. You know, the fact that you were posting the pictures and Heather was posting the pictures of the process and of you two together. And it got me more curious to see the movie. But it's a powerful movie. It's really a powerful movie. And it really does make you realize, like you said, what an identity crisis that would cause to have that happen, you know? And
yeah.
I think that it also kind of helps me realize, though, what an identity crisis so many people go through, not just with that, but with, like you said, other kinds of losses, too. And, yeah, you know, none of us know how long we're going to be here on Earth, and we all go around acting like we're going to be here forever. And
That's true.
You know, it's another one of those reminders that, you know, if there's something that you feel called to do, that you love to do it now. You know, just do it. You know, don't let fear stop you, and just get out there and do what it is you feel like you need to do to live your music.
Yeah, fear is a big roadblock. I mean, it's because a lot of times we have to be aware of our fears too, and sometimes fear is hitting us and we don't even know it. And you know, and I think what happens is, you know, some kind of big change happens, and then you're sort of woken up to a deeper level of realization, and that's when fear can really bubble up. And then you can become conscious of it. I mean, fear is a very interesting emotion to work with, and very paralyzing for a lot of people.
Oh,
very
yeah.
Very paralyzing. They say, well, what do you do about it? I'm like, well, fear
yeah,
doesn't
I
like
don't know.
Light. Like, fear doesn't like light. Like, it doesn't like you to examine it. Like, it likes to run you. So it likes to get in your brain and create fight or flight. So, you know, when you breathe and you settle down and you calm down, even though you're noticing the fear and you're acknowledging it, that's the way you work with it. You know, you work with it as an energy rather than something that's real. Like, fear is just totally made up by you. And that's what I find very interesting, you know, is I even, when I'm afraid, like, I'll be thinking some kind of scary thought, which doesn't happen a lot, but every once in a while, I'm like, okay, why are you making that up? Like, why are you making that up for yourself right now? And that's the conversation I have with myself, you know? It's like I start talking to myself, why are you going there? Like, why would you want to think that right now, you know? And become curious about why you're going there.
Yeah, well, another friend of mine that I've had on the show recently, Kristen Helmstetter, talks about fear in her book, The Daily Self-Talk Reader, which is goes with her coffee self-talk books. And she has this way of, she says she takes fear, has a tea party with fear. And
well,
asks the fear what it's trying to tell her. And that she knows it's trying to help her, but she doesn't need it. And I release you, fear. You can go away. Poof. And I don't know. I was reading that and I was thinking, you know, it's a lighthearted look at it, but it's really true. It's like fear, once it gets a hold of you, it's like it goes around and around and around and around. And a lot of times fear and excitement can also feel kind of similar. And so sometimes there's things that you would actually be excited to do that you can start thinking of as being fear and then not do it as well. So,
yeah, that's true.
Yeah. You know, the book, Heartbroken Open, tell us a little bit about that. You said that it's been re-released, and I love the cover. I think it's just beautiful.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, you know, I wrote a memoir of my journey through loss. It really was from my journal. So it came from the first 2 years of then the memoir is what became the movie. So they really used that first 2 years and used that memoir to create the whole, you know, the whole movie. And so I thought this book hasn't been out there. I mean, it of course copied on the internet and stuff for a long time, but it hasn't been in print for a long time because back when I wrote that book, they were going to bring it out in paper book, but they wanted to rewrite it. And I was like, no, I'm not rewriting it. I mean, it's a book. So I said, well, give me the rights back, you know? And they did. So then I just decided, because, you know, it was still a book, I thought, well, I'm just going to republish it. It's a beautiful book. I want people to read it. And especially now during these times where our world is just going through so much grief and loss. And
oh, I know.
I thought, you know, this is a perfect time for the re-release of this book. And it's a great companion book to people who are going through a really heavy duty loss. But it's also a really great read. I mean, I don't know if you remember it, Margot, but it's a very raw but very real read. And I think people really, I've gotten just great feedback from it over the years. People have really loved it.
Yeah, you know, I love the title, Heartbroken Open, you know, and the whole idea of that it's broken open and not that it's just broken, you know, it's broken open and it's like you can feel more and that, you know, depending on how you choose to look at it, you can grow from it or you can just hide from life and you've chosen to grow from it and not only that, to help other people through their grief that they've been going through as well, so... And you're right. I mean, the last couple of years, wow.
I remember I wrote a book, a follow-up book called From Heartbreak to Wholeness, The Hero's Journey to Joy. And that book is more my book about how to move through loss and move into wholeness and back to joy. And we
yeah, that,
you know, it's a
I think that was the last time I had you on the show, was we were talking about that book. And yeah, that's,
yeah, yeah, so look at the process of life and what is required of us in that process. And
mm-hmm.
we may be heartbroken many times in our life. And for people who don't go through a lot of heartbreak in their life, then you have to kind of, you have to kind of get it secondhand in a way. Like, you know, you have to kind of like do your work, like do your inner work, you know, and become conscious in different ways, you know, by looking at the story and saying, wow, what would that feel like, having empathy and, you know, putting yourself in those shoes. And then you can receive, you know, kind of the same kind of, not having to necessarily go through it yourself, but by just, you know, feeling the empathy and compassion when somebody else is going through it.
That's a really good point. Yeah. And that reminds me of learning from OPE, other people's experience. And it's just, you know, whenever you can, that's a really good way to learn so that you don't have to go through the pain of the learning it through the grief. But, you know, we only have a little over 3 minutes left.
Isn't that crazy?
I know, it goes by so fast. So I'd like you to think about what you'd like to talk to our listeners about for the last couple of minutes. What messages do you want to leave them with today?
Well, you know, well, first of all, for anybody who's listening that's going through their own heartbreaking loss right now, I just want you to, you know, I hope that this has been inspiring to you, and I hope that you know that there's people around you that love you, that want to hold your space, that, you know, to definitely don't isolate yourself through this process of healing, and to look at it like a process of healing. I think that sometimes people think that when you love deeply, grief is going to last forever.
Mm-hmm.
And it does believe that we're meant to be in grief and live in grief forever. I think that you're always going to miss the person that you love, and you're always going to love them too. Wherever your
mm-hmm.
love was when that person dies or is, you know, is you're always going to feel that love. And
mm-hmm.
but you're not necessarily meant to grieve forever. So just know that if you're in loss, you know, this is a time, and there's a lot you can do in this time to comfort yourself and allow yourself to heal and just, you know, surrender into the process of feeling, you know, what you have to feel. And it's going to, there'll be a better day ahead.
Well, yeah, that is such good advice. Oh my gosh. I appreciate so much having you back on the show. I appreciate all that you do, and I hope that people will watch the Lifetime movie on rerun and also get your books and look into Richard's original ones as well and the ones that you wrote with him, because it's like it says, don't sweat the small stuff, and it's all small stuff. And, you know, yeah, there's the big stuff. Like, you know, what we're talking about is definitely big stuff. But there's a lot of little stuff out there, too, that people can stop sweating. So,
yeah,
you know,
for sure. For sure.
Yeah.
Don't sweat the small stuff, live the big stuff. That's what I say.
I love that. Yeah, don't sweat the small stuff, live the big stuff. And also, savor the memories and the moments and enjoy your life now. It's the only time we're guaranteed, right now.
That's right.
So,
live your music, everyone. Like Margo
yes,
said.
Yes, yes, yes. Live your music. Share the show with your family and friends. And get out there and live whatever music is in your heart. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, Christine, for all the ways that you are living your
you.
Music. I really
thank you,
appreciate
Margo.
You. Oh, you're welcome.
I appreciate you too.
Oh. Bye for now, Christine. Bye for now, everyone.
Bye.
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 Live your music.